Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dear saints of God, and that was a beautiful rendition of In the Garden. That's by Rosemary Siemens. Beautiful rendition of that classic hymn. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast on this snowy Friday. And let's pray. Let's pray right now. We have Sister Gail, who is on her way to the hospital for treatment. As we speak, she's on her way. She should be on the road So let's pray right now for our dear sister and for everyone else at Grace Church. Heavenly Father, we come to you again, and we present to you our dear sister Gail. She has her second treatment today, Lord, and we just pray that you clear the path. The roads are filled with snow. Traffic is tough. The snow plows are out, removing thing that stands in the way. And Father, we pray that Sister Gail will not miss her vital appointment. We pray that it would be smooth sailing for her, for the driver. We pray for traveling mercies. We pray for the doctors and the nurses, that everything will go today as you ordained it, beautifully. Also, Lord, we pray for ourselves and for all the brothers and sisters at Grace Church. We pray, Lord, that as we spend time in the garden with you, as we spend time alone in prayer, you too will touch our bodies and touch our hearts and touch our minds. As we seek you and seek your strength and seek your face evermore, bless us in all that we do today. And Lord, give us opportunities. Opportunities we were not expecting, but surprise us today with one or two or three opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We have come to the end of our study in respects to Daniel 11:32. It's Friday, which means it's the last of five teachings on a verse. We're looking at Daniel 11:32, and I want you to open your Bibles. Please open your Bibles and go to Daniel 11:32. Because there's something that I need you to see. In Daniel 11:32, and I'm reading from the King James Version, it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt, or shall he corrupt by flatteries." Let me read that again. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he," referring to Antiochus Epiphany, "shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Now, you see the word exploits, it's italicized, which means anytime you see a word in the Bible italicized in the text, it means it's not there in the original. It's not there in Hebrew. The word, there is no corresponding word for exploits in the Hebrew text. So it should read like this: "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do." It should end right there. So today we have on here Friday, we're going to be covering the phrase, "shall be strong and do exploits." So who are these people that know their God? Well, they're God's covenant people. We covered that. They are the born-again saints. They are the true followers of God, not just people in the church who go to church and who are cut off from any relationship with God. No, these are people who are truly connected to the Lord, serve the Lord, love the Lord, walk with the Lord, seek the Lord. The true people of God have a true relationship with God. The text tells us that these people that do know their God, and we covered what the word know means. It means to know God relationally. They have fellowship with God. I get to know people. I've been getting to know the members of Grace by fellowshipping with them. They're not just a person on a list, a name on a list. No, they're more than a name on a list. I've been meeting with people, having coffee with people, talking with people at length, and that's how you get to know them. You get to know them by fellowship, by relationship, and with many of the saints at Grace, I am also partnering with them in the ministry. Some of us are planting, others are watering. You see, you get to know people by experience. The same way you get to know people, you get to know God. And there are a people who know God. These people shall be strong. The word strong in Hebrew is a verb. It's not a noun. You see, it says shall be strong. Shall be strong. It's a verb. And it means it speaks of a ongoing development, an ongoing action, if you will. It's something that they do, and as they do, they become. So the word strong obviously means strong, but it means more than that. It's not just talking about physical strength. Of the people that know their God shall be strong. Not just physical strength, but it's much more than just physical strength. It's much more than physical exertion. It's much more than, you know, grabbing and putting your hands on the plow and getting out and plowing the field. It means more than that. The word strong, to the word strong, you have to add courage. So notice, the word strong speaks of physical strength, and courage speaks of heart strength, mind strength. You got to be strong mentally. You got to be courageous from the heart. Now, there's a lot of people, listen to me, saints, there's a lot of people who are strong physically, but their heart is not in it. They don't have any courage. Therefore, you can be strong physically and lack courage and do nothing. Or, here's another one. You can have all the courage of heart, but if you don't have the strength, you too will do nothing. See, you have to marry the two. One alone won't do it. Courage without strength won't do it, and courage or strength without courage won't do it. See, they need to be married together. They need to be, strength and courage need to be husband and wife. Again, the Hebrew, in English it comes across as strong, but that does not really convey what the Hebrew word really means. You have to marry physical strength to courage of heart. When you add the two, when you marry the two, they equal overpowering success. The people that know their God by means of relationship, by means of fellowship, they will arise physically, and with courage of heart, they shall be overpowering. That's what the text is conveying. So, I want to be strong both physically and spiritually. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us, be strong in the Lord. Yes, you have your strength. You bring your strength to the table. Like David brought his strength, that young teenager brought his youthful strength into the mix. But then David said to Goliath, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. You see, when you know God, when you walk with God, when you fellowship with God, you have courage of heart. You are not faint-hearted. Many times, I remember as a kid in school, you always encountered bullies. Always encountered bullies. And I had an uncle of mine, a young uncle, my mother's youngest brother. My mother's youngest brother was my guardian angel. His name is David. And I remember coming out of school, the bell ringing at 3 o'clock, and there was a bully who would say to me, "I'll see you in the schoolyard at 3 o'clock. And, of course, here I am, 3 o'clock. I'm ready to throw down. I'm ready to throw my books down on the floor and get to it. Now, I was a strappy little kid. I was strappy, and I could mix it up. Now, of course, it was going to be a losing proposition because the bully was going to knock the snot out of me. He's a kid he's bigger, and he's in another grade. And I knew he was going to knock the snot out of me. I saw my uncle there because my uncle says, I'm not going to fight for you. You're going to have to defend yourself. But I'll be there. If things get out of hand, you know I'm there to step in, but you're going to have to fight your own battles." And I remember every time I saw my uncle there, I had courage of heart. And I would add my courage to my scrappiness. And I did pretty good. Now, again, I didn't win the fight. I got the snot knocked out of me. But I earned the bully's respect. Every time I did that, the bully would say, "Okay, that's okay, Torres. We're square." Now, of course, he won, but I gave him his licks, and he knew that if he came back again, he was going to get more of the same. That I was not going to be a pushover, and that's what the text is trying to convey. You got to take strength and add to that courage of heart. Don't be chicken-hearted. If you know your God, you cannot be chicken-hearted. You take the skills, you take the tools, you take the giftings God has given to you, your natural gifts, that's your strength, and to that you add spiritual courage. Now, when you add the two, when you mix the two together, you become an overpowering individual. Overpowering. So the people that know their God shall be strong physically, because listen, the work of the ministry requires physical activity. I look at many of my ministerial colleagues and they're lazy. They don't want to do. They don't want to exert themselves. They don't want to sweat. God requires that every man and woman of God who serves him in ministry get up and do something. You have to exert energy. You have to give it your physical all. But now when your physical strength starts to wane, what comes to the rescue? Strength of heart. Courage. Determination. A desire not to lose, a desire that says, "I'm going to keep fighting until the tide is turned." You see, those that know their God shall be overpowering, because when you mix the two, you can't lose. You can't lose. Then it goes on to say, but the people who know their God shall prove themselves or shall be strong and do exploits. Now, the word, again, exploits is not there, but the key word here is the word do. Shall do. Shall do. That word do means shall accomplish, shall complete. Now, here's the other thing. And this is why most churches are dying on the vine. This is why most pastors never accomplish anything. Because, you see, let's take an example from the secular world. We have lots and lots of companies who people show up at 9 o'clock in the morning. They're supposed to work from 9 to 5. They have a 9 to 5 job. And most people will give the boss, will give the company a good 4 hours. They'll work strong. They'll give it their all from 9 to 1. They go on a lunch break and they come back at 2 o'clock. So from 2 to 5, they goof off, or they coast, or they make believe like they're working. But they might be at their computer playing solitaire. And when the boss comes around to see how they're doing, they change the screen and act like if they're working. You see, it's not just good enough to add your strength, your physical strength, and to add courage of heart. But you got to work the entire 9 to 5 to complete the task. You got to give it your 8 hours. If you just give it your 4 hours, you will do half the work. You will not do all that is required. See, when God touches the heart of a man or a woman, they don't shortchange God by working half a day. They do. They do what? They do all 8 hours. They do the task until the task is complete. They are completers, the same way God is into completing things. Paul said, he that began the good work in you shall do what? Shall complete it. Don't tell me you serve the Lord and you're only doing half the work. That tells me you don't know him. Relationally, you are not fellowshipping with God, because I got to tell you, God is always working. God, when God deals with you on a daily basis, he puts in a full day. God does, listen, he who keeps you, he who watches over you is not just doing a 12-hour day. No, he's doing a 24-hour day. And aren't you glad, and shouldn't you give him praise, that the God you serve serves you 24 hours a day? So now, how can you shortchange him? How can you not do? Those that know the Lord, those that have a relationship with God, those who are in fellowship with God, those who are partnering with God to expand and extend his kingdom, they shall be strong, they'll use all of their physical energy, they'll be courageous, and they shall do all that God would have them to do. The world would not be here today if Noah had only made half the ark. Half the ark would have sunk. Listen to me, saints. We can't do things halfway. Those that know God know that they have a task to complete. Those that know God and walk with God will do their work dutifully. Those that know their God and walk with God will see their task to the end. To the end. How many companies in America are paying their workers for only a day's work? They're paying their workers a full day's work. But really, they should be paying their workers half a day, because their workers are only putting out half a day of productivity. Remember what the scripture says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If God says, Michael, listen to me. The job I am giving you requires 12 hours, and I only put in 6, guess what happens? I only receive half of the results. Remember, whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever a man puts into the ground, that shall he reap. If I put in half a day, I get half a day of results. And with God, that's not good enough, because, again, God is working 24 hours. The Bible says, he who keeps you does not slumber nor sleep. The Bible says that he keeps your going out and your coming in. When you start your day, he keeps you. He gives you traveling mercies as you begin your day. And when you come back home, he keeps you. Notice, he's giving you round-the-clock service. God is a God of completions. He completes everything he starts. He expects that those who serve him do the same. Now, of course, God is not expecting you and I to give 24-hour service, but he knows we have a limit. He knows our frame. He knows we're human. He knows we need to get sleep. But he's saying, hey, put in a day's work, and I will give you a day's blessing. I planted, said Paul, Apollos increased, or rather Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Notice, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God comes behind that. He sees that both men have fulfilled their task, and he causes the thing to grow. So, again, those that know their God shall be strong, shall be into it, shall give it their all, mind, body, and spirit, and they shall do. They shall accomplish. They shall complete the task God has. Let me take you to Hebrews as we close, as we wind down. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, as someone has coined it, this is the Believer's Hall of Faith. The Believer's Hall of Faith. And it gives you the name of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, and it talks about Moses and Joshua. But I want to take you down to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 32, it says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and of the prophets. He says, listen, I can write a whole book, much less a chapter, on how Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who were all flawed individuals. They're just like you and me. All of these people mentioned in verse 32 were all flawed. They were not perfect. They were believers in God, but who struggled with their sin nature. It's the author of Hebrews 11 says, listen, I can give you so many examples of people just like you and me, but who were strong and who did. It goes on to say in verse 33 that through faith, these individuals aforementioned, what did they do? They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant, waxed courageous in fight, turned the flight of armies of the alien forces. Their women, the women of faith, received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, not recanting, if you will, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And he goes on. All these things they accomplished because they took their physical strength, to that they added courage of heart, and they did marvelously for the Lord. None of these people went into service for Christ halfway. They were all in. They were sold out for God. They were zealous. So, the text again. There's a people in the church who are wicked in heart and who really don't care about the things of God. And they shall be corrupted in these end times by the flatteries of Antichrist. But is a people. And I'm trusting and I'm believing that you are one of them. There is a people. There is a holy people. There is a faith people. There is a people that truly loves the Lord. There is a people. There's no doubt about that. There is a people that shall be strong, shall give it their all, and do and accomplish great things for God. My brothers and sisters, I hope this study has been a blessing to you. I want to close today's broadcast by playing the hymn, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." Don't forget, this Sunday, we have our communion service. Invite someone. Don't forget this Sunday, we have Sunday's radio. And don't forget Tuesday's upcoming prayer meeting, the best meeting of our weekly services, when we meet with God and we go fetch from Him strength and courage to do exploits. God bless you.